What's up, Northern Hills? How are we doing? Anybody else look outside this morning and go, what? I didn't agree to this. No, just me? Okay. Hey, I'm really excited for today. If I've not met you yet, my name is Sam Peckett. I'm one of the teaching pastors here on staff. And for those online right now or watching later in the future, ooh, crazy, welcome to you as well. We're really, really excited because we believe around here that the church is not a place, the church is a people, right? And so wherever you are, we're not waiting for the Holy Spirit to come to you or relying on us to bring the Holy Spirit to you because the Holy Spirit is already there and moving and active. And we are very, very excited for what he's going to be doing today. And I got to tell you guys, my wife and I, we took a kind of a mental health trip this last week because for the last few weeks, I've been sitting in this message after going through the Changes That Heal content that we've been walking through. And this one just hit different. This one hit hard and I needed to go away and process. And so today is going to be difficult for a lot of us in here because there are childhood memories that this is going to tickle that you're like, no, those can just stay right where they are. We're just not going to worry about those, right? Today we're going to dive into those, but I'm very, very excited as we talk about processing pain, processing pain. And to dive into this, I'm going to call you out really quick. Some of y'all are not ready for this. You know who you are. Don't point if it's your spouse. Have you ever been this person who you'll exercise, you'll work out, you'll lift something, or let's just be honest, one day you wake up and your back, your knees, your legs, your shoulders, everything just hurts, right? And you're sitting there going like, it's okay, I'm okay, it's fine. Right? And then like 3 weeks later, you're sitting there like rubbing your shoulder because it still hurts. And everyone's like, bruh, go to the doctor. And even though you said the exact same thing yourself that morning, but because they spoke it into your life, now it's on principle. I'm not going to go. And then you go anyway. Right? You know who you are. Me too. I do this all the time, but I'm starting to try and change it because it clicked with me that maybe this pain thing is actually something more than just an annoyance that I'm having to push through. So I started to do some research on what the purpose of our pain in our physical bodies is, or if it's just like our body's way of exacting revenge for having another meal consisting of French fries and milkshakes again. Right? And really the reason I wanted to do this is because I'm kind of tired of the pain. Anybody else? Like I'm over it. I'm tired of it just accepting it as my normal everyday life. And I know as I get older, it's going to become harder and harder to deal with and harder to combat. But what about right now? Because I don't think this is normal right now. There has to be some purpose for it, right? And so listen, in order to understand and be able to process the pain, I first have to understand its purpose. So here's what the research that I did found, or I found what it said. Check this out. It says, pain is a survival mechanism in our body for the purposes of protecting our body. Pain is a survival mechanism in our body for the purposes of protecting our body. And this was like an aha moment for me that should have happened a long time ago, but it just makes sense, right? Like you get a splinter, your body lets you know by way of pain. You break something, pain. You tear something, pain. Your joints aren't working properly, pain. Your brain is swelling, headache, pain. It's your body's natural way of communicating to you that something's not right. But when that communication is severed or is being ignored, it has a negative and possibly even severe consequences. I mean, look at something that we see all over the Bible, but we sort of glaze over, right? We never really look too far into it. As Jesus was here on earth engaging with people and working in community, it says over and over and over again that he spent time with people who were looked down on, who were cast out, who were marginalized, and among those people oftentimes were lepers. And I think we read that and we go like, okay, they were sick, and we never really processed through this. But check this out. Leprosy is a disease that affects the physical appearance of somebody's skin with like bumps and rashes and stuff like that. Yeah, that's all true. But it was pretty easily identified physically, and so that's why there were like leper colonies. Go over there. We don't want this. But it went way deeper. Right? It went way deeper. Leprosy was almost always led to nerve damage in the affected area or a loss of feeling. Like imagine if you had leprosy and one of the affected areas was your foot. And as you're walking around, you cut your foot, but you don't notice it because you don't have any nerves to tell you that something is wrong there. And so it leads to potentially more cuts, deeper cuts, infection, and oftentimes death because of a lot of these things. Listen, pain, write this down, is our body's response to something that is not right with itself. Pain is our body's response to something that is not right with itself. But let's be honest, there's many of us who experience a varying level of physical pain beyond the cuts and scrapes of life, but there's a pain that every single one of us feels, and it's emotional pain. Right? Emotional pain. Whether it's the pain of losing your first Little League game or the death of a pet or a friend moving away or any time you watch the Broncos make another call, Like, can we just be real for a second? What are you doing? Or worse yet, if you're a Vikings fan. Right? Or, you know, loss of a loved one. Or so much more. We experience emotional pain all the time. We all experience emotional pain and spiritual pain daily, but a lot of us have the same reaction to that pain as Vikings fans do. Have you ever asked them, like, how are you still a fan? And they're just like, we ignore the pain. We just push it away. We just push it away. And that's pretty much as close as you're going to get to emotional leprosy, right? But that's what a lot of us do, isn't it? Right? It sounds like this. It's fine. I'm fine. It'll pass. It'll get better. It's no big deal. I've had worse, right? Or then we spiritualize it and we say something like this. It's okay. God's still in control, right? Which is not wrong. That is 100% true and good to focus on. But what that response does is it allows us to persist in the pain, but it does not allow us to process the pain. It allows us to persist, but it does not allow us to process. And that is a change in our life that is going to bring healing if we choose to make that switch. So we're going to stop trying to persist in the pain and just tough our way through it, but we're going to process through it together. So let's talk about that. And before we dive in too far, we have got to drench this conversation in prayer. So will you pray with me at home or in this room? God, thank you for this day. God, thank you for the blessing it is to breathe again. Jesus, I pray now today, God, that you would speak boldly in this moment. God, that you would speak clearly and with wisdom into our life. Jesus, we're trusting you in this conversation. God, I ask that the words that I say would not be mine, but they would be yours. Anything that I say that's not of you, God, let it fade away. But if there's something you're speaking into our life today, God, let it launch us to freedom, to discovering new truths about who you are and who we are in you. Jesus, we love you, we praise you, we pray all these things in the powerful, resurrected name of Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, processing pain. Just like with physical pain, we have to understand its purpose in order to process it. So everybody write this down. Our emotional pain is our heart's response to something that is not right. Emotional pain is our heart's response, something deep within us saying, this isn't right. Or to put it another way, pain is our heart's defense or survival mechanism for the purposes of keying us into something that is broken so that we can address it. So that we can address it, which makes sense, but I think we sit with this thought for too long and we say over and over again in this toxic loop of something's not right, something is wrong, something's not right, something is wrong, right? And we never actually get to look at what it is that's the root issue. And we just spiritualize it so that we can keep persisting, we can keep pushing through the pain. But what if it was a deeper issue that we could unpack and find freedom in? Follow me. Pain is an indicator that something is wrong, right? Something is wrong. But how do we determine then what is right? In order for something to be wrong, broken, or hurting, there must first be a standard by which we are putting it up and against to determine whether or not it's going to be right or wrong, right? There has to be something that we say, okay, if this is right, this can't be right, right? You following me? So if we're going to process through the pain instead of just persisting, if we're going to find changes that lead to healing, then we have to dive deep down and understand not just the purpose of the pain, but what is setting that expectation? What are we putting it up and against that is causing that pain, causing something to not be right within us? So to answer that question, I believe that there are three unique areas of our life where we see this expectation play out. And we're going to unpack because two of them can lead to growth. Two of these expectation areas can lead to growth, but if left unchecked, they will lead to pain. But the third is going to lead to growth, and it's the only place that we're going to find healing in the midst of it as well. So what are the three areas? Check it out. Write down each of these. The first place that we have expectations and standards put on our life are what we're going to call internal expectations. Internal expectations. Internal expectations are expectations that we just put on ourselves. Right? It's self-explanatory. And these can look like just about anything, but listen, none of these are inherently bad. They're not wrong. Internal expectations can look like setting habits in our lives that lead to big changes, like what we talked about in our habits series. Or it can look like setting boundaries on what we do with our time, talent, and energy, like we talked about last week. Or it can look like setting workout weight or other health-related goals. But let's be honest, how many of us have set expectations or standards for ourselves that we have absolutely no hope at achieving? Right? And if you can't think of one, what was the last New Year's resolution you made? Gotcha. Right? And when that happens, it turns into this constant barrage of self-deprecation because of a standard that we can never hope to meet that we've put on ourselves, which causes more emotional pain because we've set a standard that most of us can't ever hope at meeting. Internal expectations, they're not bad, but they can't be the basis. So what might that look like, though? Well, who in here is watching online right now, who, if you're married or you're in a relationship and you've ever looked at your marriage, looked at your relationship, and you thought to yourself, hey, I should be doing this, or I should be doing that, or man, I need to be better here, or how about this one? I should be like them over there. I should be like them on Instagram. How many of those expectations for our own individual roles as spouses or significant others that we've put on ourselves that really our spouse doesn't even know that we're carrying that weight? And they know that they haven't given it to us either. And we back it up with, well, that's just what a husband should do. Or that's what a wife should do. I know I've done that all the time. I know my wife has. And I know that we're not alone. And I know that it's not healthy. Internal expectations, they're not bad. We need to push ourselves to grow. We're called to that. But it can't be the basis. So what's next? The next place we receive expectations and standards that we put on our life are what we're going to call external expectations. We have internal and external expectations. External expectations are expectations that things or people outside of our lives have put on our life. And again, none of these things can be inherently bad. They can look anything from like goals and projects that you get at work or from your boss. They can look like social and relational courtesies. They can look like serving and loving your spouse or your significant other well, or even the weather. Right? Like an example, when it's snowing outside like it is today, there's an external expectation put on your life to do what you need to do to stay warm, to survive, right? If you don't do that, you're not smart, right? But if left unchecked, a lot of these can lead to harm. What does that look like? Well, everyone's had that boss that has such unrealistic expectations for your position with no support or no hope of you meeting those goals. Or what if when your spouse leans on you and you alone for their emotional stability? Or what about as kids when your parents would look to you and you alone for every one of their life's problems and leaning on you? Or what about when every college professor assumes that their class is the only one that you're ever going to take in life, or if you're taking others, theirs takes importance, and they give you all the homework in the world, right? External expectations. And their expectations put on us by others, by our context, or by our culture that we may never be able to meet, and it tells us over and over again that we're failures, that we don't have what it takes, that we aren't worth it, that we don't have enough. Internal and external expectations are not bad, but they can't be the basis. We cannot keep relying on and holding on to our parents' expectations from the moment we picked up the football, and now they're pressuring us to go on a full-ride scholarship to college. We cannot hold ourselves to the standard that our job puts on us with no care, no support, and expect us to be okay on the other side. We can't do that. And just in cases of extreme weather, we need to treat external expectations the same, because when it gets too hot or too cold to survive, the expectation is we remove ourselves from those contexts in order to survive, right? External expectations are not bad. Internal expectations are not bad, but they can't be the basis, because right now the bulk, if not all of the pain that we're feeling right now, that we're experiencing right now, comes from these two places alone. So what's the third? Listen, there's internal expectations, there's external expectations, and then there's eternal expectations. Eternal expectations, and y'all, this is the only place where you will find both growth and healing. Why? Because this is the only place where it's not dependent on what you do. It's fully dependent on what Jesus did. Right? That's the only place that we're going to find growth and healing. It doesn't mean that we aren't called to engage and to participate, because we are, but it's not dependent on us. So let's talk about that. And to do that, we're going to dive into the book of Romans, starting in chapter 8. So turn there with me today as we look at what eternal expectations are and how we can learn how to not just persist in the pain, but process through the pain. And if you don't have a Bible, there's free Bibles in the back, but we pull open our Bibles together here to say, God, are you actually saying the things that we're talking about today? And if so, what does it mean for my life moving forward? We're going to keep each other accountable, not just take my word for it. So as we're turning there, for the last seven chapters in Romans, Paul's this guy who went from persecuting the church and then had a radical encounter with Jesus, and he started planting churches. It's the biggest transformation. And I love what he writes in his epistles, in his letters to some of these churches. But he lays down in the first seven chapters of this letter to the people of Rome, he lays down the basics of the gospel. He goes like this. From chapter 1 to chapter 7, in the beginning was the heavens and the earth. God created all things to display his beauty and his worth. And in the garden, he placed man where there was no such thing as guilt, no such thing as shame. But then came the devil, the liar, the trickster, that doing what he does best, running his lip and called doubt into the perfection that was God's presence and God's promise. And on that doubt came action, and on that action came separation. But the story wasn't over because it just launched into God's redeeming story of fighting for his children again. Then enters the author himself, holy man and holy God, living a sinless life to die the sinner's death, paying the ultimate price. But on the third day, he defeated death, giving his children full access to the Father through the power of the resurrection. And now, in light of all of that, chapter 8 comes in. What comes next? What do we do with this good news, with this gospel? Check it out in verse 1. He writes this, therefore, and anytime we read therefore, we have to ask ourselves the question, what is therefore, therefore, right? Paul, what are you talking about? In light of everything we've said, in light of everything we've looked at with Jesus, because of that, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might fully be met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Pause. Everybody say, law. There's two realities that we get to discover, eternal expectations, but he points to two realities that we can live under according to what Paul's talking about here. It's the law of sin and death, which demands perfection, and the law of the Spirit, which desires your presence. There's one that demands perfection. There's one that just desires your presence. The law of sin and death, it's so Old Testament. You had to be perfect. You had to go through all these different things, but not anymore. Your perfection, listen, you need to hear this. Your perfection was bought at a price so that now you can be present in your pursuit of Christ. You don't have to be perfect anymore. We don't have to play pretend anymore. But this is something that I need to preach to myself over and over again, because how many times when I mess up, when I sin, and I look back at my Bible or I think about Jesus and I go, no, I have to make up for what I just did before I can come back, right? I have to, maybe it's just allowing enough time to where I forget about it before I can jump back into my Bible. Whatever it is, we do this all the time. So what does the law of the Spirit look like? Look, the Holy Spirit empowers us to become more like Jesus. The law of the Spirit is the law of growth, or to put it another way, it's the law of grace plus truth plus time. It's what we looked at week one. It's grace plus truth plus time. What does that look like? Verse 12, therefore, because of that, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you're going to live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you can live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And now if we are children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If we indeed share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Listen, the eternal expectation is that you would no longer live under the challenge of perfection, but rather as children of the promise. That's the eternal expectation, is that you just receive grace. It's the expectation of a father to his children to accept his love, his grace, his forgiveness. It's the expectation of our presence in his. It's the expectation that we would see ourselves as he does, just like any father, just like any parent on earth, looking at their child as perfect, not because of anything that the child did, but because the child is theirs, period. How often have you looked at your father and just said, no, I need to earn this. I need to do this myself. I want this. And he looks back and says, man, I already paid for it. Just be with me. Just be with me. The kingdom is not congruent with the American dream, y'all. It is not. The kingdom doesn't require you to work your way to the white picket fence and everything else that you have. What you have is grace, and what it is freely given. You don't have to earn it. The eternal expectation is receiving the grace of God as an heir to the kingdom. But this also raises another question. If we're children of the kingdom, if we're heirs of the kingdom, and that is where our peace over our pain comes from, and if we really believe that once we proclaim with our mouth and believe with our heart that Jesus, you are Lord of my life, from that moment on we are in the kingdom, then why do we still experience pain? If we know that it starts now and lasts forever, eternal life with him, then why do we still experience pain? Why didn't it go away now? If eternal life starts from that moment and lasts forever, then why do we still go through it? Listen, the pain from this world happens when our focus shifts from the eternal expectations to the internal and external expectations. We get distracted. right? We get caught up. Why? Because we're human. We're not perfect. But what do we do in the midst of this? How do we process through this? And I love this. Write these down. Memorize these verses. Somebody needs to hear this in your life today. Verse 26 through 28 says this. In the same way, listen, the Spirit helps us in our what? Everybody say it. Weakness. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, in what we are. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through, I love this, wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance to the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Listen to me right now. Your pain has a purpose. Your pain has a purpose. Just like your physical pain not only alerts you to what is not right in your body, your emotional pain alerts you to what's not right in your soul, what is going on in your soul. And it calls us to action. It calls us to grow. Just like your physical pain, your emotional pain has purpose, and that purpose is preparation. In your pain, when you don't know what to do, when all you can do is cry and groan and scream the wordless questions at God because your life is crashing down around you, you're not alone. You're not alone. And even when we don't know what to do in that moment, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, prays for what we don't even realize we need. But it's all used to prepare you. Prepare me for what? To prepare you to bring others into his presence too. The pain you're going through right now, you don't know it, but somebody else right now is about to go through the exact same thing, and your story is going to be the moment of hope that they need to get to the other side. It's going to be the wisdom that they've been seeking to push through the pain, not just to persist in it, but to be able to process it well. What does that look like, though? Well, check this out.
I'm going through a divorce. It's been 38 years. I've got two boys that are 32 and 35, and that hasn't made it any easier. Four grandkids, one on the way, but it's been very challenging. I come from a religious background. I was raised in the church school. I went away from God for a long time, but when she said she left, and I just knew that I had to get God back into my life. I'm very thankful that I have, because I can't imagine where I'd have been if I didn't do that. She was my only friend, the only one I needed. I own some things too. I mean, I've not been the perfect husband. I can't control that. I have nothing to do with that. And I've asked God for forgiveness, and I think he and I are on the same page, and I feel he has forgiven. So I'm trying to move on from that.
One of the cool things you mentioned to me, and you even said it here, you were on a journey of growing up in the church, Bible school, Sunday school, some of those memories that you have packed away. And then you highlight again, just sort of went away from that in marriage, maybe raising your kids a little bit, and just wasn't part of your life as much as maybe growing up. You mentioned to me how your kids have now seen, and they've actually been really sort of open eyes to, wow, that's different. And there's just something going on that's different with Dad. Would you mind sharing a couple of those things?
I guess there's actually, it's interesting you bring that up, because two nights ago I was talking to my youngest son, and we were having a conversation. I'd send him a book about baptism. We were talking the night before last, and he said he read through it, and we were able to share some very, very deep conversations that just were so encouraging. That, and then as the conversation went on, then I was totally flabbergasted. He said he was reading the Bible. I think I shared with you, I'm trying to find my new purpose. It started out, I was a husband and a father, and raising a family, and with the divorce, it's like, well, why am I here now? What does he want me to do? So there's a lot of praying going on there as to, hey, what do you want? And I'm starting to wonder if that's not it, you know, to bring them into the faith and be a mentor and be an example. I have shared with you, I want to be an example. I want to be a leader in their life and somebody that they feel they can follow and look up to. And I don't think that what has happened with the divorce has changed that, but I want to be more inspirational and leading in those efforts towards bringing them to God.
What have been your thoughts when it comes to community?
It's huge. The thing that I find so frustrating, and we shared, is when this whole COVID thing started up, I was in the middle of all that between work and different church stuff, sure. and trying to get involved with all that. And then COVID came out and it just put a halt to all of that. It's like, what are you trying to tell me, God? With the COVID loosening up a little bit, I'm not into a men's group. I think it's important to share that. Everybody's got their stuff. We're all here to help each other and share those stories and comfort each other and just help to mend and heal and keep each other on the right track and iron sharpen iron, you know. just be there for each other.
No, I love that. Anything else that you want to share with our people this morning?
I've gone through a lot of loneliness, but I'm learning, or have learned, that He is there. Just be persistent and listening, because He's talking.
I love that persistence thing. Perseverance right now can grow in all of us, I think, and it's I've continued to say, for the friends of God, the family of God, right now, when we should be persevering more than ever. This is our opportunity, just like you said, that grit, that keep listening, keep going after, like, again, keep looking at these resources and these things that are available to us. Maybe just take that one step that's going to lead us
lean
to
in,
an uncomfortable.
It
is the lean in is, and it, again, it might be uncomfortable, might be new, but I think on the backside, we're going to see some really cool stuff
come out of that.
Yes. I love that. And you're a testament of that. Your story is a testament of that. So keep sponging it, man.
It's not been easy.
No, I appreciate you.
I'm trying to sponge all I can.
No, I appreciate you sharing your story and being with us today.
Thank you.
So I love this because we can debate all day long what God wants with divorce, but that does not negate and it does not justify the pain. The pain is real. Don't ever let somebody Bible bash you into believing that your pain isn't worth processing. God cares for your heart. He wants healing. He wants growth. Regardless of what you've done, that's the purpose of the cross. But no matter where you are, I believe that there are a few things that we can dive into to help us process the pain. And I love what Steve said just now. One thing that hit me, he said, I've gone through a lot of loneliness, but I'm learning, or I have learned, that He's there. Just be persistent and listening, because He's talking. And in that statement alone, we find two key truths within pain. The first of which is that you're not alone. You're not alone. He is with you, and in that truth, you can persist. You can keep going because you know that He's gone before you, that He's walking beside you, and that He's coming behind you. You are not alone. And the second is to listen. Listen. I love some of the questions He asked God when He was talking. God, what are you telling me? God, what are you teaching me? God, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing? Is this the purpose for what you've put me through? And in these moments, He's processing His pain by understanding its purpose. Listen, write this down. Persist in His presence, but process in His promise. Persist in His presence and process in His promise. One of the ways we can process in our conversations is God is simply asking yourself, what have I been expecting? What are the expectations on my life? The pain you're experiencing right now, what's setting that expectation? What's causing it? Is it the unrealistic and immobile expectations you're putting on yourself that you have no grace in and no hope of achieving? Is it the expectations that your circumstances or people around you are placing on you, expecting you to be somebody that you're just not, somebody that you were never created to be? Listen, our pain comes when we trade out the eternal expectations of grace and truth and time for the internal expectation of self-sufficiency, or the external of just playing pretend. But sometimes the pain in our lives, it isn't because we've traded the internal eternal for our own life, but sometimes it's because we've traded it out in the lives of others. Listen, look at this season that we're in. This isn't gonna be easy to hear, but this is necessary. Look at the season we're in our country right now, in our world, in our home. Whether it's politics, whether it's COVID, all of it. This isn't gonna feel good, but it's where we need to grow. What external expectations are you putting on others in this season that is causing them pain that they need to process through now? I'm not talking about speaking truth and grace and love into their life, because that's what we're called to do. I'm talking about when have you traded your expectations for them, and they've been divorced from the eternal and bound to your own internal. Listen to me. The cross of Jesus Christ took away our guilt and shame, and our need and our right to guilt and shame others. But what if how they vote isn't what Christians should do? Listen, if your God falls in a political party or policy, then you need a bigger God. Because it's probably not Jesus that you're following. But what if I don't agree with their mask preferences or how they're handling COVID? When's the last time you looked at somebody that you disagreed with and just asked them about their heart? Hey, how are you and Jesus in this? How is your soul doing? But what if what they're doing right now is something that the Bible says is wrong, black and white? Then our only response in eternal expectations is this: hey, me too. Let's get through this together. Let's grow together. Let's process through this pain together, because you're not alone in this. I'm not alone in this. We're going to do this together. Are we going to be perfect at this? Absolutely not. But how we fail matters just as much as how we recover. Because the reality is, on one hand, all have fallen short of the glory of God. All have traded out their expectations. All have sinned. All have forgotten who their Father is. So thank God for grace. What is expected of you? What are you expecting of others? Processing through the pain means turning from the expectations that we can't live up to and are embracing the expectations that we are called to. Are you ready for growth and healing finally in your life? Are you ready for change that will allow you not to just persist through the pain, but to process through the pain? Are you ready to have hope again? Because it's ready for you. Remember, your perfection was bought at a price so that you could be present in your pursuit of Christ. Persist in His presence. Process in His promise. That's the expectation on your life. Let's do that together. You're not alone. It's time to process through the pain. Let's pray and let's worship together. God, thank you for this day, what you've done, what you're going to continue to do. God, thank you for speaking this into my own life. And God, thank you for continuing the journey in my life. God, I know it's not over yet. God, it's hard. And some days I feel like I just can't do it anymore. Some days it just hurts so much. But God, I know I don't have to just push through. I know I don't have to just persist. But God, through your grace and through your truth, and in time, I know I can process. God, and I can have healing through you. God, I pray that for my brothers and sisters. I pray that for my family today. God, help me find the purpose in my pain. Through you and you alone, I'm trusting you in this moment. God, help us to do it with wisdom, God, and confidence and courage. God, we love you, we praise you, and we're thankful that we don't have to earn it. You want us as you find us. Pray all of these things and more in the powerful, resurrected name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand. Let's worship together.
Thanks for checking out this week's message. If you'd like to get involved here at Northern Hills, check out our website at nhills.org or download the Northern Hills app. We hope to see you again soon.